It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Takes a shot.
Here's Corey Davis, wide open. Davis. Still going, and he's in for the touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studios. This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time for part one of the mailbag. So for that, we bring in the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. So let's jump right into the mailbag. Next question comes in from El Gringo. He says, if the Jets don't add a veteran corner, who will be their cornerback number two? Also, how many rookies do you think will start week number one? I think that if they don't add a veteran corner, you're probably looking at either Pinnock or Echols as cornerback number two. We'll see which one ends up winning the job. That's what I think would probably happen if they don't go out and get somebody like Nelson or Sherman. And as far as how many rookies are going to start week number one, Wilson, I think, is pretty much a shoo-in to start week number one, as is Vera Tucker. I think there's a decent chance Elijah Moore starts week number one. I think Pinnock or Echols will start week number one, and you're going to get Michael Carter the second. So I think you could have as many as five rookies starting week number one.
Yeah, well, it's a little tricky, though, too, because, like, how strict are you going to be with starting here? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, technically that first play and, like, Michael Carter, too, is there going to be a nickel on the field for that first play? Elijah Moore, like, Elijah Moore might not be in on that very first play, but is he going to be, you know, one of at the end of the game, he might have, like, the second most snaps at wide receiver. Like, I could see that happening. So how you grade starter or not could affect the outcome of this. But obviously, injury aside, we know Zach Wilson and Elijah Vera Tucker are definitely starting. That's obvious. Elijah Moore is going to be borderline starter, but he's going to be playing pretty much like starter amount of snaps. Whether he actually starts or not, I don't care. I'd say one or two cornerbacks are probably going to be rookies. So you're probably looking at least four, maybe five rookies starting. And then not, what do we do with Michael Carter, the running back? Is he going to get the first touch? Is he going to get the most carries in the first game but not start? So it could go up. We could be technically looking at six, or at least three definite full starters and three borderlines is most likely what I'm thinking here.
Next question comes in from Play Like a Jet One. I know that guy. He says, this is for the very big deal, Chris Nimbley. Who is your favorite Justified character and why is it Dewey Crow?
You know better, though. You know better. It's Boyd. And somebody mentioned in the comment under there that Mags definitely gets an honorable mention here, because if she was a main character in all the seasons, she might be giving Boyd a run for the money here. But she's only in that one season. Boyd was in them all. So Boyd's the answer here. And you know that. It's a good joke, but you know that.
Mags was one of the best recurring characters. Loretto was great too. Limehouse was great. Basically, what I'm telling you is that every character on the show ruled, and you need to watch this show if you haven't seen it yet. I don't know how much clearer I can be.
I will second that. If we haven't told you enough, Justified is great. Go watch it.
Speaking of things that are great, Peter J. Dillard. He is not a thing. He's a person, but he is great. We love Peter. And he says, gentlemen, I have one question, if I may. Gee, Chris, what do you think this is going to be about? You think there's a chance this is going to be about the offensive line?
I think that it's probably going to be about the offensive line. Since the usurper is no longer here, I think we're going to see the usurpers fade out a little bit. I'm sure he'll find creative ways to sneak it in every now and then. But he got one in last time. We got a good joke and laugh and giggles about it. I'm saying he's circling back to the offensive line here.
And you're correct. He says, it's a repeat, but I must. Does anyone have a report on Cam Clark? Is he alive? How has he looked so far? Also with Morgan Moses, why do so many fans jump to Fant moving to guard? The man went from basketball to learning how to play tackle. Love him at swing tackle, but he might make Alex Lewis look good at guard. So the Cam Clark question, I'll go to you for that one, Chris, because obviously I wasn't there to watch him. As far as moving Fant to guard, I think it's just a matter of they're thinking that Fant is going to be here, and he at least was a decent offensive lineman last year, and at right guard, the Jets have no proven solution. So they're thinking maybe you take Fant, use him at guard, and then you would have Fant as a starter on that line, and it gives you an upgrade over what you had last year. It does sound like the more likely scenario is what you said, that Fant would be the swing tackle, but I think that's why people are talking about the possibility of Fant at guard. So, Chris, what do you think on that one? And also, what can you tell us about Cam Clark?
Yeah, I'll start with the fan thing. I think it's a mixture of things. And it's partly fans just not really understanding the intricacies and differences of offensive line. And this isn't a knock on them, because I've been covering this league for a long time and I have a better grasp on it than a lot of people, but still, like, a pretty poor grasp on it overall. Offensive line is really hard to know what you're looking at all times. And it's why that's the position that I lean on guys like Brandon Thorne and Damian Woody and other guys that I know offensive line and I trust them on it. I lean on them way more. I don't go looking out, for people's cornerback takes that much. There's some people's cornerback takes I trust more, but I feel good enough with my cornerback takes that I don't need to see that. I always go looking for my offensive line for confirmation or to see if they're seeing it wrong. I always go to certain people with that. I also think it's just kind of like the Madden effect here, where Madden, you need somebody here. You plug any offensive lineman in there. But I think you're right. I think if you put Fant and people I talk to, this is why it doesn't seem like the Jets really have any intention of trying that out. Maybe they give it a go, but it didn't seem like anybody was really considering this. And I think it's just because we're just thinking, hey, they have a need. This spot needs filled. So it's a lot just wish casting too from fans. This spot needs filled. You're signing this guy to fill Fant's spot. So just move him over there. That solves all the problems. That would be great. But I don't think Fant would work out well there. And that's definitely the vibe that I'm getting there from everyone inside there. Doesn't seem like they're trying to do that. I can confirm Cam Clark is alive. That I can confirm. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw him on the field taking part in drills. Again, the way they have it set up, we're still restricted on our movements with COVID stuff. And we get a watch from the far end zone, and they keep stuff. All the action is far away from as possible. And in team drills, they also have the players that are like normally standing on the sidelines, but they're like standing on the field blocking our view. So we have to like kind of look around. It's been really hard to get good looks at like the inside line and what's going on there. It's always tricky enough. So I haven't gotten to see a lot of him in team drills, but I have seen him out there taking part in position drills and individual drills. And he does, you know, this is another pass fail thing. There's only so much he can do in that what we've seen here. Training camp, you can get to see more, and one-on-one and position drills and stuff, you get a better look of like what it really means than what we saw at OTAs. But he looks comfortable. He doesn't look lost and confused. So that's really the best I got for you right now. He is alive. He's not doing anything just terribly wrong that would make you notice him. But we're going to have to wait to training camp to really get a good look at him.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Next question comes in from at Soul Brother. He says, have you tried Berea yet? And if so, where does it rank in your taco filling hierarchy? Also, what state has the worst pizza that you've tried firsthand? For me, it is Nevada. So I have no idea what he's talking about with that taco filling, so I'm going to leave that to you, Chris. As far as worst pizza I've had in a state I've been in, Texas is the answer to that one. They have the best barbecue in the country, but some of the worst pizza.
Yeah, so Berea Tacos, I read that tweet, and I was just like, I do not know what that is, but I want it. a new taco dropped? Yeah, give me the new taco. I'm ready. I don't care. Apparently, Berea Tacos consist of braised meat inside corn tortilla that's been pan-fried and the fat that sits at the top of the berea. So, yeah, sign me up. That sounds amazing. And, yeah, I see places I can get it. So I have not had it yet, but thank you very much for this because I will be having it and I will report back to you. Worst state I've ever had pizza in. Man, that is tough because that's most of them. I have had some bad pizza in Florida. I have had some bad pizza in Massachusetts. Some really bad pizza in Massachusetts. I've had some bad pizza in Nevada. Last time I was in Vegas, I had some really bad pizza. But, you know, I think I'm going to have to agree with you, Texas, for the simple reason as I used to live in Texas when I was a kid. And then we moved here to New Jersey in fourth grade. And the first pizza place I ever ate at in New Jersey was this place called Sorrento's in Mendham. And it was the most amazing thing I had ever experienced in my life at that time. And now you couldn't pay me to eat at Sorrento's. So it's not a good pizza place. And it is vastly inferior to every other pizza place around here. And I thought it was like amazing. It just changed my entire world because I was used to Texas pizza.
Next question comes in from Brooklyn Dude. He says, many of us thought Chris Herndon was the future tight end for this team after his rookie year. Will he reestablish himself in 2021? Maybe, but I wouldn't bank on it.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't bank on it. But there's a definite possibility. I mean, talent is there and the opportunity is there. And we know that that tight end is an important part of the offense that LaFleur is going to try to run here. So the opportunity is there for him and he does have the talent. He's just got to work it all together. And again, tight end, there's a long transition for most tight ends in the NFL. People don't just come in and just start dominating right away. It's rare, very rare. It takes a lot of these guys a couple years. So I wouldn't rule it out, but I mean, I'm definitely not banking on it, but I'm not going to be surprised. We're not talking about him turning out to be all pro at this point, but to be a a really good tight end, I still think there's definitely the potential for that.
Next question comes in from Jesse Peretz. He says, who came into camp in the best shape of his life this year? I got to go with Andy Vasquez. I think he lost like 20 pounds since last offseason.
Thank you for asking that question, first of all. It made me laugh because that's you know the answer to the question is really every single player.
Right.
Every single one. They all, every single year, they come into camp in the best shape of their lives. So, yeah, I think you got the actual answer to the question. But also, yeah, it's everybody. They all did.
Next question comes in from Caesar Sala. He says, how did your first impressions of Wilson compare with your first impressions of Darnold in 2018? Also, Euros or Copa America? I have no idea what that last question means, so I'm going to leave that to you, and I'm going to leave the other one to you as well, because obviously I wasn't there to watch either one of these guys in person when they first started practicing with the team.
Yeah, okay, so comparing Wilson to Darnold, this is really tricky, because you're asking me to compare OTAs of Zach Wilson and then to remember back to OTAs of Darnold, but only OTAs of Darnold. So in... I've said this before, my memory is a thing where everything blends together all at once. Like everything that has ever happened at the same exact time in my life. And I just remember it all at that moment. So it's hard for me to sit here in my brain and separate what I've seen from Darnold in OTA year one and year two and training camp. But I'd say it's pretty similar. I'd probably say that I give Zach a little bit of edge on consistency, but I also there was a little bit less on just wow throws factor with Zach than Darnold. I remember a couple of Darnold throws, just unleashed long throws that I hadn't seen quite the same with Zach Wilson. But I think consistency-wise, on aggregate of what we saw, I'd probably say it was a little bit better with Wilson.
That's going to wrap up part one of the mailbag. Make sure that you're following Chris on Twitter at CNimbly and at Jets Insider, and reading his very big deal work over at JetsInsider.com. And check out everything we're doing over at PlayLikeAJet.com. Luke Grant's got an over-under betting guide if you want to get in on the action early and start betting on some of these teams over-under win totals for the 2021 season. And speaking of Luke, he's doing some great work on our YouTube channel right now. We've got film reviews of Michael Carter, Elijah Moore, Zach Wilson's dominant performance over Western Kentucky, and a bunch of others coming, plus Caleb Pace's commentaries, Pace's playbook. If you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel, and make sure you give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.